Thank you for choosing to listen to this Life Church St. Peter's message. If you'd like to know more about who we are as a church family, just go to our website, lifechurchstpeters.com. Enjoy the message.
This morning, I want to talk about this morning and next week, with kind of the headline of this morning and next week, and probably a couple weeks after that also, is where are we going as a church family? Oh, I guess that was a good one. Either that's a pain or a groan or a yes, Jesus. Where are we going as a family? Two, again, I think the operative letter this morning is P. We had performance and participation. And where are we going as a family? Presence and people. Presence and people. Jesus changed the trajectory of our life. Not for just kind of ad hoc, whatever. Hey, you're going this way. Why don't you go right? Why don't you go left? Jesus never does random just for random's sake. He has purpose. There's another P word. Oh, my gosh. I love this. Jesus is intent, committed, focused on changing the trajectory of mankind. And it starts with you. It starts with me. This morning, I want to talk about, in looking at presence and people, one of the ways that he does that is the river of God. I don't know how many people were back in the prayer time this morning. It was just a little cherry on top for me. I think it was Kristen prayed about a river flowing from the throne, the hill of God. I'm like, yes, that's my message. Come on up, Kristen, finish it. No, don't. This morning, I want to talk about the river of God. This church started 12 years ago or so with two passages. One was Ezekiel 37, Valley of Dry Bones. The second was Ezekiel 47. And it was kind of the bedrock, the foundation, the two pillars that this church was birthed in. And I'll talk more about Ezekiel next week. He was a very strange person. He would fit right in with me, us. This morning, I want to look at four different scriptures that I believe dovetail beautifully together as a theme throughout the Word of God. They are connected. In Genesis 2, verses 8 and 10, the very beginning of the Word of God, Genesis 2, 8 and verse 10, and the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Verse 10, a river, everyone say river.
River.
River. A river flowed out, everybody say out. Out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. So it was one main body, one spring, and four main rivers flowed out of the garden to water the rest of the earth. I find it funny that the rivers weren't flowing into the garden just to water the garden. But Jesus is intent on changing the world, which is out, not in.
Amen.
Thank you, thank you. I hope it gets better. I just want to say this, and we'll get to the slide maybe in a minute. Probably 30 years ago, I listened to one of my favorite preachers of all time, an older gentleman, he's going to be with the Lord now, named Charles Simpson from Mobile, Alabama. I'll forgive him for being a Crimson Tide fan. It's okay. Lord has a lot of special people in his family. And I was in Michigan at a conference, and he gave this a whole series, a whole day, kind of devoted to football. It was a men's retreat, which is appropriate. And he talked about this one main point. He said, Christians need to wake up to understand the huddle, speaking of American football, the huddle is not the game. The huddle is where you find out what you're supposed to do in the game. The huddle, Sunday morning, is not the game. Jesus desires the river would flow out. Yeah. We would take presence out into the world. The garden in Genesis was where the Lord planted two people to live, the first two people ever created, ever made, ever lived on earth, in a garden. And it was special, it was amazing, because it was the Lord's presence. And there were four rivers leaving it, going out, exporting the life of God. The intention was to export the garden out. I won't read it, but in Genesis 1:28, God gave mankind, man, you and I, our mandate, our purpose in life. Be fruitful and increase. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over it. Don't allow the world to rule over me, over us. We are to influence the world, not have the world influence us. Amen. Thank you. Second river passage I want to look at this morning of four is Revelation 22, verse 1 and 2. This is John has a vision, has gone, stepped into heaven on the other side while still in a physical body, while still alive. And he saw in the book of Revelation many, many things. And it was concluded, last chapter of the Bible. This is what John saw. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life. This is in heaven. This is what's going to, we will see this when we see him. See Jesus, not John. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Does it remind you of another passage somewhere in the Bible? It should. We'll look at it in a minute. The very river of God coming from his very presence, still exporting, still leaving his presence, going out, healing, bringing fruit, and it's in heaven. Third passage on the river. We can put an S on this one. This is Jesus himself in John 7, verse 37 to 39. John 7, 37 to 39. And Jesus stood up. And on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers." Out of his very heart, anyone, not Jesus, not just speaking about himself, he's speaking of anyone who believes in him. Is that you? Do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
Yes, there's one or two or three. A room full of them. Amen. Just a couple of boisterous ones or girlstress. Sorry. Yeah, that's all I got. Jesus says about you. About me. What do I have to offer? I don't have anything to say. Jesus said, no. You have rivers flowing out of you.
Amen.
If you have Jesus inside of you, if you know the Holy Spirit, you have something to say. Rivers are just waiting to burst forth and splash over people all around you.
Amen.
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 Come on up front. No, you're good from back there. One of us needs a mic. But I appreciate the encouragement. Verse 38 again. Whoever, do you qualify as a whoever? Are you in that category of whoever? Well, no, it's just the evangelist. It's just the extroverts. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, gender neutral, will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. That's us. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. And that happened 2,000 years ago. And now the Holy Spirit himself, mighty, third person of the Trinity, Holy Spirit, he is here. He is available. In you, waiting to explode forth anytime and every time. I say, Jesus, I want to participate with you. I want to join with you. Jesus cries out that the river of heaven. Now, first, in a garden. Two, it's going to be in heaven. And three, on earth, while we're here, it's here. He's here. Flowing out. That'd be a cool study to talk about. Rivers. Plural. More than one. We should investigate that. There's gold in them, our hills. To flow out from the inside of me to a dying, decaying, hopeless world. Rivers of life, rivers of life, exporting the life of heaven to a dead world, looking for something, someone to believe in, to trust in. Rivers and water, so often in Scripture, are prophetic illustrations of mighty Holy Spirit. In Ezekiel 47 is the fourth text I want to read. This one's a little longer. It's only 12 verses. We can make it. This is one of the two that I referenced earlier that this church was birthed into and on. Was this one. It was about 2012. My wife and I, we'd been offered a chance to move to Kansas City, north of Kansas City. I was not in a great place. I was grumpy, fussy, complainy, whiny, ugly, tired of the church I was going to. I was on staff. That's not good. Basically, part of the problem, if there was a problem. I was ready to move, accepted a job, talked about salary, package, all the stuff, said, yes, we're moving. And then God said, oh, talk to me about that. I don't know about that. Problem. And he spoke to me out of this passage. Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12. Then he, the Lord, brought me back to the door of the temple presence. And behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. If you're directionally challenged, don't get confused, just move on. Verse 2, it's right there. Then he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside of the outer gate that faces toward the east. Behold, the water was trickling out on the south side. Going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,500 feet and then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Anybody remember this passage of Scripture? Yeah. Should be familiar to some of us. Verse 4, again, he measured 1,500 feet and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. And again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was waist deep. And again, he measured 1,500 feet, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. Please, Father, may the river rise. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. It's kind of funny that at times I think we can pass around the river if we want, because God gives us choice. We can go around the river if we want and do it our own way. because he gives us options, choices. We can make a great choice, or we can do what I want. But this river could not be passed through, meaning it's so huge. If you jump in, you'll never exhaust its length, breadth, depth. It's that broad. It's that deep. It's that wide. Verse 6, and he said to me, Son of man, speaking to Ezekiel, Son of man, have you seen this? And he led me back to the bank of the river. And as I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees. Think about Revelation. We just read it. I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on the one side and on the other. And he said to me, the water flows toward the eastern region and goes out down into the Arabah and enters the sea. When the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. Miracle. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. Miracle. And there will be very many fish. And this is illustrative. It's picture form. Fish speaking of, just like Jesus, where Jesus told his disciples, I will teach you to become fishers of men. The Word of God isn't talking about fish, though I love fish. It's talking about people, me, you, that have faces, personalities, bents, persuasions, opinions. So everything will live where the river goes. I kind of want the river. I kind of want it. Without it, there's a problem. Without the river, we'll hit verse 11 in a minute. Verse 10, fishermen will stand beside the sea. It's me, you. From En Gedi to Eneglaim, Peoria, Bloomington. It will be a place for spreading of nets. You will catch fish. Its fish will be of very many kinds. Blue hair, tattoos, white people, Asian people, black people, Hispanic people. All kinds of people. And I hope they don't look like you or me. You know, it's funny how the church can get sometimes. We were praying for people just not like you. We don't say that. We just cross our arms when they walk in. Not this family. Red hair, blue hair, hair. It is funny you get to a point in life, you just want some color on your head. I don't know. Its fish will be of very many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. Verse 11, but its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are left. They are to be left for salt. No outgo, stagnant, inclusive, no interest in going outside. God gives us an option. I can be flowy or marshy, salty, in a non-good way. Verse 12, I love this, I love this. And on the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month because the water for them flows from the sanctuary, from the temple. It flows out from somewhere. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. Exactly what it says in Revelation 22, where we end up. The finish line. When I no longer have an opportunity to touch fish that look different than me. Fish that smell fishy to me. Verse 9, same chapter, reiterate. And wherever, even at Starbucks, wherever, the river goes. Can I just interject Thomism? Wherever you go, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish, for this water goes there. Why would you say that? Because that's what Jesus said. Anyone who believes in me, rivers will flow from you. Wherever I go, guess what happens? Splashy, splashy. For this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh. The world is crying out for what you have, for what I have. So everything, even Floyd, even Uncle Cletus, that nasty neighbor that spits and curses and says bad things about your dog, everything will live where the river goes. Not my attitude, not my prejudices, not my biases, not my get them, why don't you believe everything I believe? It's about Jesus. That's what changes everything. Yeah. Not my opinions. Yeah. Everything will live wherever the river goes. It flows and it goes. Doesn't say it stays. The river of his presence exported, river flowing out to a dry and barren, formless world. It is Jesus' purpose, his aim, his trajectory that he wants to move Tom towards, move me away from the things that, all those things that want to grab hold of my attention. It's God's purpose, exporting the life of heaven to a dead and dying world. It's hopeless. I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to give over this world to the devil. I'm really not. So many Christians are, oh, somebody float out. I'm not interested. I'd rather stay and export. I'd rather stay and see the waitress born again. I'd rather stay and see that lady, the grumpy checkout lady, at Walmart, get saved. Genesis 2, river flowing out. Revelation 22, river flowing out. John 7, rivers flowing out. Ezekiel 47, river flowing out. John 7:38 again. Whoever, not the extroverts, not the big personality people, not all those folks who know the Bible so much more than you or me, whoever believes in me. As the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. A world that's without hope, it's dry, it's disappointed, it's discouraged, it's in debt, it's bitter, it's disillusioned, it's hurt, it's broken. What do I do when I feel some of those things myself? As a believer, because the Bible has promises in it. In this world, you will have, does it say trouble? It says many troubles. Is that up there? No, it's not. I didn't give that one to you. Christians, we can have trouble in our own life. Are we going to let it swamp our boat? Are we going to let us put in dry dock for the rest of our days because it's too dangerous out there, too hurtful, too harmful? And it is hurtful. At life, in life. But I look at the Word of God and so many of these people who are now famous in the Bible, they went through unbelievable pain, unbelievable trial. You get Joseph, you get David, think of Peter, all the challenges that these, but they had encountered Jesus, and Jesus changed the trajectory, not just of their lives, but of their mind, their hearts, their attitudes, in the midst of their challenges, because we all have them. People have issues with their health all around us. So many people. Well, I don't know who to talk to. Pick one, anyone. They have challenges. The guy, the lady driving the Mercedes with the updo. I saw a lady with an updo. Some lady said, "Oh, her hair's a mess." You know what I said? It's an updo. I know my stuff. You know, not experientially, but observation. Pick somebody. They're all around us, all over. Right. Lift your eyes and look. There's someone who needs the river that's in you. You don't have to ask if you're born again, if you're filled with the Spirit of God. You don't have to ask for rivers to come. You just got to pull up the, what's that little blockade thing for like a dock or a, when they, rivers.
And the,
floodgate. Oh, you got it. I'm not good with theology. Floodgate, that's a new one. All you got to do is let the water out. Lift the floodgate and let it flow. You don't have to ask it. Let it flow. It will go. We have challenges with our health, with our finances, issues with our kids. My wife and I, we got pregnant in 1984. And I still have my girlish figure. We got pregnant in 1984, first child. We've been married 4 years. And in that day, it was what we did then. I don't know what you did if you were alive. Maybe you were one of those children born around that time. But as a parent, potential parent, as a parent, what we did then was we would ask the Lord, "Lord, what do you want this baby to be called?" Remember that day? And if it wasn't Jezebel or, you know, Arnold, you know. You asked the Lord for the name. That was just the way we did it at that time. At least Princess and I did. And I didn't get the answer I was looking for, but the Lord spoke to me and said, "This child will be a motivator and an encourager." I went, wow. I know a lot of parents who probably wouldn't say that about their kids. As a new person, a parent-to-be, I knew everything. I was well-groomed in all parenting ways before my first. And so I looked, and I couldn't find any name that had motivator and encourager in it. It didn't match up. So I thought, well, that's odd. My wife will come up with the answer. So after 8 to 10 weeks, my wife began spotting a little bit, and no problem because God spoke to me. God spoke. I knew that I knew God spoke. So 2-3 days went by. Pastor Mike Stevens, if you know Mike Stevens, spoke to him, prayed with us. I am 100% confident. Well, we end up losing the child, which again is really common until it happens to you. So I remember I was driving home, and I was right in front of the airport on Highway 70 headed west. And the Lord spoke to me and reminded me of this child, because I was just saying why. I wasn't angry. I wasn't yelling, no angry fist at God. Don't do that. That's not bright. That's just not bright. He's never the problem. It could be more. And I just saying, "God, I don't understand why. I know I heard your voice." And the Lord said, well, actually, he showed me. First, he had a picture. I'm going, what's the speed limit on Highway 70 in front of the airport?
84.
65. I'm probably going 64. Going down Highway 70. And the Lord showed me a picture. Anybody ever seen a picture of Wrigley Field? Do you have a picture of Wrigley Field? I've been there, too. Okay, Wrigley Field, home of How to Lose. What? No. They're hot this year. Right where that 400 is, that's what Wrigley, one of the things Wrigley Field is famous for is ivy. No. Ivy, ivy, ivy. But it's not like that all year round. Do we have another picture? Maybe, maybe not. I don't remember what I sent. Is there another picture? Brown? No? Good. We don't want to see it. Too much of Wrigley. Behind that green is a brick wall. Brick. Bright red brick. I've been to Wrigley, used to live in Chicago. It is brick. But in the springtime, that grows. And as I'm driving down Highway 70, the Lord showed me a picture of a brilliant brick wall. This is dangerous when you're going 64 miles an hour. I saw a brilliant, clear, crisp, solid, powerful brick wall. And then I saw green just grow up over it. So much so that you couldn't see the brick anymore. And this is why I heard, I felt on the inside. Tom, what used to be clear and solid and defined brick has now been covered over by many things. So now you can't even see there's a brick wall behind it because things have covered over your faith. Things have covered over the trajectory Jesus had you on. Things. I had a business. We were hoping for children, mostly that looked and acted like their mother. We had hopes. And in that moment, I just began weeping, pulled over to the side so, you know, wouldn't be more loss of life. And that day, the trajectory of my life changed because I realized I was no longer focused on out there. I was focused on in here only. Only was the problem. Because it's both. You have a home. It needs to look like the Garden of Eden. And part two is to export the garden into the broken world. And my world was all about me. I wasn't in sin. I wasn't doing crazy, stupid stuff. I just wasn't focused on Jesus anymore. And I decided it's back to basics for Tom. I repented, asked Jesus to forgive me. I didn't give up my business right then. I simply refocused and put Jesus at the center of everything. My trajectory was back because he spoke. For some of us, it's time just to start believing the purposes of God again. Just in your garden, get your garden focused again on Jesus. Have Jesus at the center of your garden. For some of us, he absolutely is. If that's where you're at this morning, can I encourage you? It's time to start exporting rivers into the world. You've got people at work. You've got people at school. You've got people in their neighbors. You've got a husband, a wife, a child. Instead of fussing and complaining like me about all those people, maybe it's time to start telling them about Jesus. Maybe it's time to ask heaven for wisdom and tell them about the gospel that saved you. Good news that saved you, that saved me. One encounter with him and we're different. I'm going to close with two GBHs. The first one, depending on where you're at and what you're doing in life and can I encourage you? It's time to start living in his presence again. And I'm just going to do half of this morning. I did this probably 10 years ago. For me, a Sunday morning alone is something like this. It's a mist that gets my bald head wet. It really does. It gets my head wet when I encounter his presence. But Jesus has something a little more for you than that. It looks something like this. It's all going on my head. Or yours. What Jesus has in store for you is not a little dabble, do you? If you're a little older. It's not just a little squirt in and out. Because I'm still pretty dry. But what if? Come here, guy. What if me and you lived lives saturated with the presence of God? I mean soaking. And everybody that encounters me when I look like this gets wet. Because the river of life is deep and wide. This is how God intended us to live. Now my arms are getting wet. That's how we're supposed to be. And I don't get that from 45 minutes of worship on a Sunday. But I do get it living abundantly, saturated, soaking wet in His presence. Maybe you're feeling a little dry. Option, get into His presence. That's on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday too. Get back to Him, a quiet place. Second thing, super simple. Second thing, start flowing out there. First thing, the trajectory of this church, presence. Second is people. People, people. That's why Jesus came. Not that I'd have a nice little church experience for 2 hours on a Sunday, hour and a half if we're blessed. The game is not the huddle. Do we have a picture, maybe, of that? Looks like a high school game. Do we have another picture? Ooh. Bad team. Bad. Somewhere in the middle of Texas. Not good. Boo. Okay, that is an illustrative picture of Sunday morning. Because they're all hearing what the plan is. The plan. The game is not happening right there. The plan is happening. Next picture, please. Oh, they're actually playing the game. That's you on your street. That's you at Boeing. That's you at Lion's Choice. Good choice. Yes. That's you out talking to people about Jesus, just telling them. What do you tell them? Your story. Yeah. Your story. That's all we're telling them. Your story about Jesus. Let's love on people out there. Tell people about, where are we going as a church? About presence. It is what happens here in the huddle. The huddle is important, so we're not all doing 98 different things. The huddle has value, but it's not the game. The game is out there.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's me opening my mouth and telling somebody about Jesus. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, thank you, thank you for this morning. Father, may we be a people committed to your presence. May we be a people who just want you. And Lord, may I begin and learn to, every day, as I get out of my bed, I jump into my car, to pull the floodgate open, to lift the gate, and let the waters flow into a world that needs Jesus. That I wouldn't be intimidated by what have been up to this point scary people. People with loud opinions. Father, may I have the opinion of heaven and share it with humility, share it with power, share it with conviction, not argumentative, with sweetness emanating from my soul, kindness emanating from my soul, that Jesus' name would be famous at work, in my home, in my neighborhood, in my school. Jesus, that we would be people of boldness and power. We want to see this world start looking more like the Garden of Eden and the Garden of Heaven to come. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.